just shows that they've got a bike club up there that's training hard and knows what they're doing.
Fairbanks riders take the top placements at last weekend's Haines Junction to Haines Bike Relay. And Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation webcasts its annual meeting to shareholders this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Skagway's harbor rates are increasing next year for commercial vessels and moorage. The 10% rate increase approved by the Borough Assembly earlier this month is smaller than originally proposed and goes into effect at the beginning of 2011. The increase raises the fee that charges commercial vessels from $1 to $110 for each passenger picked up and brought back to Skagway. That's 50 cents up to 55 cents for one-way passengers. Annual moorage will cost $13 per foot. The Assembly first rejected a proposal last winter to double the fees, says Borough Manager Tom Smith, and reconsidered the subject just recently.
I think that would be fair characterization of it, that it was, you know, a fee discussion from last year carrying forward to this year, and the resulting resolution that was on the agenda as a result of all of that.
This time around, the Port and Harbor Advisory Board first proposed raising the fees by 50%. That would translate to a big burden for tour operators like Bart Henderson. He says the originally proposed 50-cent per passenger increase is a lot, considering the Haines-Skagway Fast Ferry showed a profit of under $2 per person last year.
So we went to before the Assembly again when it came up, we basically just let them know that 50% is a huge deal. 50 cents a person doesn't sound like much. When you just say it's 50 cents a person, it doesn't sound like much. But when you take 45,000 people a year, that's a lot.
Increasing rates last winter also would have hit commercial vessels right before operating season, after ticket prices were already fixed.
You know, we just let them know how important the Haines-Skagway Fast Ferry is to both Haines and Skagway, and let them know that it's a very fragile business, that we took it over from the last owners, that it was a failed business when we took it over, and we've been struggling to keep it viable, and we hope to keep it viable, but it needs help. So we were just asking for their help.
Smith agrees that that was one reason for the delay in raising the fees.
The effective date would be the 1st of January. That way people at the harbor have more forewarning, you know. And, of course, the boating season doesn't start until usually, March or April.
Matt O'Boyle is the Skagway Harbor Master and proposed the adopted 10% increase.
What I did was try to make it the same amount or as close as I could for everybody, making it a 10 to 20% increase for all the users, and that's kind of what it came up to with the increase.
The municipality says the amendment is necessary to pay for maintenance and operation of the small boat harbor. Again, Harbor Master O'Boyle.
The money for fees goes directly back into the harbor. The harbor is an enterprise fund, so any revenues from the harbor users goes directly back into harbor infrastructure.
With the change, the Skagway Harbor's rates will be higher than those in Haines, Juneau, and in Ketchikan.
Every year, fees go up for utilities and stuff like that, and we've been fairly reasonable with our rate, and it was just a matter of time before we had to raise both the transient moorage and the annual moorage.
Transient moorage in Skagway increases next year to 35 cents a foot per day and 350 per foot per month. The new fees do not affect harbor users beyond commercial vessels and people storing boats in the small boat harbor. Municipal facilities often stagger their fee hikes to minimize impacts on patrons.
We stagger our fees to different sections so we don't hit everybody at the same time. What we did with this section of increases was spread it out over all the users as far as raising both the annual moorage, transient moorage, and the user fees, the head tax, as it's been called.
Fairbanks bicyclists swept the top placements at this year's Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay from Haines Junction to Haines.
Actually, the first four teams were Fairbanks.
Judy Ewald of Haines helps organize the race.
The first, second, and third two-person men's was all Fairbanks teams, and then a solo man from Fairbanks, and they were all within one minute of each other, 1 minute total from the first to the fourth. So it was a really tight finish on their part.
Raven Racing, a two-person team out of Fairbanks, won this year's race. Ewald says Fairbanks is getting more and more serious about the Chilkat Valley race every year.
They were in here, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, and made a really strong, both men and women that year, were really strong placer. It just shows that they've got a bike club up there that's training hard and knows what they're doing. To see two persons and solos coming in that quick. For a two-person team, next fastest would be like four-person men's, because that's usually considered the fastest, and they were like 25 minutes behind them, time-wise. So actually, they finished behind them. The solos had to pass them, because four-person started 15 minutes ahead of them, and they took 25 minutes longer to do the race.
No significant time records were broken this year. Ewald says fast times have just about everything to do with weather.
Overall, the weather was great. The wind wasn't as bad as it has been, and it was pretty warm all the way through. We've had snow, we've had rain, we've had wind all at one time. I mean, Lake 5 has just been treated people for like frostbite or hypothermia. Either checkpoint 4 or 5, the two up at the top, had to like wrap them in blankets and throw them in somebody's car. I did 6 wearing shorts. I did have a long sleeve top on, but 6 coming off the pass, and I was plenty warm. The wind, we always have wind. I think I've seen it worse.
But at least one big record did break at the 18th annual. Last weekend's race had the biggest turnout in history, with 1,260 riders and 262 teams total.
Both of those are a little bit more than, they set a record, but not by a whole lot. High riders was 1,255. But that's been 4 or 5 years ago.
There were 99 eight-person teams this year, down from the early days of the race, but higher than recent years, says Ewald. Many of those teams were from Haines and Skagway.
Tour de Haines with the Lindy team was the highest-placing Haines team. They came in 756. Four-person mixed.
Gina and the Jets were the second Haines team in, placing 5th in the same four-person mixed division.
Quite a few Skagway teams entered. Sockeye Cycle had a couple teams in. They usually are in the mix. There's a Skagway team. Skagway Coyotes were like 9th in the four-person mixed. But Skagway had 3 four-person mixed teams that were in the top 15, you might say. 9th, 10th, and 12th. Yeah. Taco Night was the 12th place team, Skagway.
Riders were lucky to have favorable weather throughout the ride, but delays crossing back into the U.S. kept some motorists as long as 2 hours. This is Dalton Cash's first year with radiation portals, an agriculture officer, and using only 2 lanes to check passports. The holdup caused 27 eight-person teams, nearly a third of the division, from getting their last rider to their starting point on time.
This is a problem we have every year with the eights when they hit in a big group, because you got, you know, the lead third, you might say, and then the back third, but you got that big group right in the middle, half of it probably, and they all hit at once, and between everything that happened in the border to the border numbers, the customs officers in the last week and a half took them from running 3 lanes of traffic to running 2. So they were just, they had a great plan, and it fell apart starting a week and a half ago. And then I thought they did a good job considering they just heard about their one inspector who was missing, presumed drowned, that like the day before. But I talked to the customs port director, and he said everybody was polite, understood it, it worked good, worked the best they could. No problems with the bikes or the drivers. Everybody had their IDs they needed, and they did the best they could.
Haines' Tommy Scoville, volunteer at the last checkpoint, decided to let those delayed teams ride their last leg with their 7th rider if they chose. Ewald says teams should plan ahead for the delay, but the board will discuss adding a similar allowance to next year's rules.
Tommy made the decision and let leg 7 riders come in, continue with the switch going down the road, and I think we're probably actually going to put something like that in the rules for next year, that that is okay. We might put a time penalty on it so people don't think they can get away with it, because we'd rather they planned ahead, but that's all up in the air for this next winter's meetings.
Race results are online at kcibr.org. You can find the site by searching Chilkat Bike in your search engine. Next year's race is already scheduled for June 18th, 2011. Sea Alaska's annual shareholders meeting is Saturday in Craig on Prince of Wales Island. It begins at 10 a.m. at the Craig High School Gymnasium and is being webcast to members. Election results will be announced at the meeting. Four incumbent Board of Directors members are running for re-election. They're being challenged by eight independents, including former top-level Sea Alaska staffers. Shareholders are also deciding on a resolution that would significantly change the corporation's voting system. Between a quarter and a third of members turn their choices over to the board by checking a discretionary box on the proxy statement ballot. The resolution would end that practice unless a shareholders group assembles a proxy slate. Backers say the change would make it easier to elect independents to the board. Sea Alaska officials, including board members, say it would eliminate a choice that's popular with many shareholders. Most ballots have been cast, though shareholders can still vote at the meeting. Sea Alaska is the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska. It has close to 21,000 shareholders and distributes dividends twice a year. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. You can listen to KHNS News anytime, online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week, or go to Archives for earlier stories. Thanks for listening.